It's half past eight.
It's half past eight New York time. Time to wake up America and stump the experts. Each week at this time, Lucky Strike offers you a chance to test your wits against all encyclopedic brains. You provide the questions and our experts try to answer them. Remember, for every question used, Lucky Strike will give you not only $10 in war stamps, but a set of the 12-volume Britannica Junior Encyclopedia. If the question is muff, you get the Junior Britannica, plus a $50 war bond, plus a 24-volume set of the regular Encyclopedia Britannica. Send your questions to Information Please, 480 Lexington Avenue, New York City. If our editorial staff edits your questions a bit, don't fret over it. In case of similarity, we'll have to be sole judge of who shall be paid. And all questions become the property of Information Please. And now light up a lucky strike as I present our master of ceremonies, book reviewer of the New Yorker magazine, Clifton Fadiman. Mr. Fadiman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, Information Please is spontaneous and unrehearsed, and tonight the spontaneity will be provided by our regular trio, John Kieran, Oscar Levant, Franklin C. Adams, plus our guest extraordinary, the celebrated baritone and director of the Office of Price Administration, Mr. Leon Henderson. And now I must take just a minute of your time to sew up a few ragged edges in last week's exciting program. In the first place, you may remember that Christopher Morley, who was one of our guests last week, offered Hamilton Cleek as the detective who used many different names, and we called it wrong until we had time to check it. We checked it, and Mr. Morley is right. And Ellery Queen, the famous detective who sent in the question, gets no Encyclopedia Britannica. He gets just the baby set. And now we come to the prodigious Orson Welles. Now, first of all, we'd like to say that the Wells' record of hits was extraordinarily high, and he ought to be credited not only with being able to scare a whole country on occasion, but with being able to scare your by no means over-amiable master of ceremony. For instance, he scared me into admitting that John Brown didn't cross the Potomac. As a matter of fact, he did. The amazing Orson, for once in his life, was wrong. On the other hand, we were wrong in saying that Blind Pugh was the boarder who died in Treasure Island, and Mr. Wells was right in saying it was another fellow. Matter of fact, it was a character named Captain Billy Bones. Well, that makes the score even. Information Please, one. Orson Welles, dealer in magic and spells, one. And the only way to settle the thing is to have a return match, and we hereby challenge Mr. Welles to another bout, catch-as-catch-can, no holds barred. All the same, John Brown did cross the Potomac. Now, we'll start in with a question from Mrs. Ann White of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, get 2 out of 3 on this, gentlemen, if you can. Who was the predecessor of the following? Who preceded Billy Southworth? Billy Southworth. Mr. Levant.
Ray Blade.
Who is Ray Blade?
He's now a coach of Cincinnati. He is a member of the, and director, I think, of the family that controlled the St. Louis Cardinals. He was formerly an outfielder on one of the many pennant-winning Cardinal teams. Why do you want to know so much about Ray Blade? He's got a job.
Because you're crazy to tell me. Yes, that's a perfect response, Mr. Levant. How about the predecessor of John Masefield? Predecessor of John Masefield. Any ideas, Mr. Adams?
I think it was Robert Bridges.
Yes. What the positions
do Poet have? Laureate.
Poet Laureate of England. Yes, the Bridges died, and Mr. Masefield took his place as Poet Laureate. Who was the predecessor of Cordell Hull? Predecessor of Cordell Hull? Mr. Levant?
Stimson.
Yes, Henry L. Stimson, as Secretary of State. That's quite right. That gives us 3 out of 3. We got through that one rather easily. That sends us on to a question from George C. Miller of Washington, D.C. And Mr. Miller wants to know, who makes each of these boasts in song? And there is no harm whatsoever in answering lyrically, if you wish, Mr. Henderson and others. Who says, I often live beyond my means? Mr. Adams.
Captain Jinks.
Captain the Jinx. Horse Marines.
I feed my horse on corn and beans. I often live beyond my means. I'm Captain Jinks of the Army.
That's right. Very good. That's perfect.
Good voice.
You think he's pretty good, Mr. Adams?
Good voice tonight.
He is in good voice.
His voice finally changed.
Who makes this boast? I'll kiss your cheeks and black your eyes. I'll kiss your cheeks and black your eyes.
What's the next line?
Ah, that's the point.
Wait a minute.
Now, the next line really gives it away. Oh, come on, Oscar, you know the answer.
Is that the spinach man?
What's his name?
I don't like him. That bunchiest man with the muscles and the cartoons.
You don't like him? That bumptious man, eh?
Popeye, that's the boy.
Barnacle Bill.
Yeah.
Barnacle Bill, the sailor. I'll drink your wine and eat your pies. I'll kiss your cheeks and black your eyes, said Barnacle Bill, the sailor. That's back to you now, Mr. Henderson.
Mm-hmm. Did
you ever sing it? As a boy?
No.
No?
Neither boy nor man.
I'm a cowboy who never saw a cow. Mr. Levant.
I'm a long cowhand on the Rio Grande. Oh, yeah, da, da. Well, why don't they join us?
I don't know. How about it?
Never heard of it.
Can you pronounce it? That's right.
We're all
celebrating. Oh, you know that part.
Oh, yeah.
The other words are a little indistinct. Yeah, so that gives us at least 2 out of 3. How about this one from I. Miller of New York City? This is about percentages. In what connection have these percentages figured in the last week's news? 21% less to be delivered. Mr. Henderson?
That's the amount of meat that will be delivered to civilians. And it was reported by Secretary Wickard, but he said that I would make the cut.
They do give you the darndest jobs, don't they, Mr. Henderson?
The cut of beef, do you mean?
Well, this is the unkindest cut of all.
I wonder how you manage to be as popular as you are, Mr. Henderson. You do all these unpleasant things to us.
Well, it's the people I associate with.
Doubtless. Mm-hmm. In Washington, you mean?
No, in New York.
New York.
You're an old flatterer.
He's a middle-aged flatterer, Adam. 33% were retired. What does that mean to you? We've had that percentage mentioned in the last week's news.
Retired.
33% were retired. This is going to mean something to you, Oscar. You who have never walked more than 2 blocks in your life.
The taxi cab in New York.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
What's going to happen to them?
It already happened. They removed 33% of the cabs in New York City, which had already removed themselves, incidentally, before what they called the edict.
Removed, but untired.
Untired.
Oscar, what are you going to do? Are you going to walk now, really? You think?
Or
are you roller skates?
I don't know. You know, I meet tomorrow with yesterday.
100% have been replaced. Who said that? What does he mean?
I know that.
Mr. Levant.
The ships in the British Navy since the start of the war, including the replacement of battleships, aircraft carriers, etc.
Yes. All losses in the last 2.5 years have been replaced, to the First Lord of the Admiralty, A.D. Alexander, said. He said destroyers have been more than made good, over 100%.
And if Henry Kaiser gets really rolling, we'll do the same.
You bet we will, and more of it. How about this? From Mrs. Hazel Sims of Oakland, California. Where in literature or song did someone ask for the following? Did someone ask for a heart? A heart, H-E-A-R-T. This is in a poem.
I didn't be careful with my heart. No.
Mr. Adams?
Maid of Athens.
That's right. How does it go on?
Maid of Athens, ere we part, give me back my heart.
That's right, Mr. Adams. Very good. Let's come back to you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, now.
Who, where, out of where in song did someone ask for a smile? Mr. Kieran?
Give me a smile and turn my heart your eyes.
Oh, I like that.
A fairer paradise.
Yes,
that's
very
get low. Higher after that.
Pretty low now. How about someone asking for a kiss? I guess this is a song, too. Mr. Henderson, you seem to know these things.
I know this one.
Yeah, four hands. Mr. Kieran, how about
I say, kiss me again.
I know.
Yes, kiss me again is all right, Mr. LeFant.
Give us a little kiss, would you? Huh?
Excellent.
Absolutely. Just a little love, a little kiss.
Mm-hmm. That would do, too. That gives us 3 correct answers on kisses. You seem to be very well equipped on the last part.
Not on kisses, is the phrase.
Here's one from Henry Small of this city. Now, you're going to hear some songs played, gentlemen, and a news item should come to your mind in association with each of the songs, a news item of the last week or so. Let's have the first, Mr. Kahn. If you followed your papers carefully, you should know the association. What was being played, Mr. Henderson?
A happy birthday. It was Ben Korn's birthday, the famous theme of Korn and Quirkin. That was the big event in Washington.
Oh, that's local news.
Mm. Well, you're writing Quirkin and Korn down.
Now, this is something that applies to the whole country. Since last Monday, on account of the well-known war, there will be no more singing telegrams.
All right. It's
a very tough war. There will be no more singing telegrams, and we will never hear happy birthday to you.
Song, that's all.
Song. Mm. No harm done. And the next one, Mr. Kahn.
I'll just identify the song.
All right.
The wind is blowing, the snow is snowing, da 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 da, by Irving Berlin.
Da 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 da.
That would be the autumnal equinox.
That's pretty elegant.
The beginning of autumn.
Oh, right. I got my love to keep you warm. Yeah. I got your love to keep me warm.
That's right. Now, that's the one. I've got my love to keep me warm. And what event was that?
That's not in my what they call orbit.
Well, now, I think it wouldn't that suggest to us...
Oh, yeah, no fuel, no gas.
Yeah, sure. General shortage of oil. And I have to use the second-rate substitute indicated in this song.
I think you better take storm wind. We'll rely on storm wind.
Maybe so, Mr. Henderson. And now, Mr. Kahn, let's have the third of the song and see what it suggests to us.
I hate to see the evening sun go down with the St. Louis Blues.
Which is the St. Louis Blues, and what does that mean to you?
That means that the Cardinals might win the pennant.
Yeah, that's what it means. That's right, the St. Louis Blues.
Did you read what a columnist said that the Brooklyns were now reading the war notes to get their minds off the pennant race?
And now here's Mr. Rysdale, who maintains that there's a way to measure pleasure.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as far as smoking enjoyment is concerned, the standard weights and measures are all supplied by tobacco. The better the tobacco, the better the cigarette. Yes, mildness, better taste, and all the other smoking qualities you enjoy depend primarily on the kind of tobacco that goes into your cigarette. That's why at auctions all over the South, you'll see our Lucky Strike leaf buyers bidding in open competition to get the finer, lighter, milder tobacco. The real Lucky Strike tobacco. And smokers, we consistently pay the price to get this better tobacco. That means a better smoke for you. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. Mr. Fadiman, have I shown what's to be gained by trying a cigarette of fine tobacco? Lucky Strike, so round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
Mr. Rysdale, in 58 seconds, you've given us the full measure of facts. And now a question from Eva T. McAdoo of Waldorf Astoria, right here in New York. Give the line from poetry or song in which a woman is said to resemble the following things, in which a woman is said to be like a melody. A line from poetry.
A pretty girl is like a melody that just like the spring, the wonders, the spring, she'll follow you.
I don't know. You're not a bad price administrator either. Not bad. Levant, you're a disappointment to me. I'm not the singing type. I'm not a happy-go-lucky man. Now, Levant doesn't sing. He whistles very well through his teeth. True.
I like to play with about 5 million people behind me. An orchestra, I mean.
How would you like to have Congress behind you?
Depends how far behind. Can you give a line in which a woman is said to be like ships?
You mean passing the night that time?
That's all, yeah. Mr. Kieran, can you think of any?
Ships? Was this the face that owns 1,000 ships?
Well, that is an associated line, but you don't compare the woman to...
Woman like a ship?
Yes. Helen, thy beauty is to me like
those
nice
Indian
barks of yours.
That's right.
Who wrote it, Mr. Kieran?
Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes, and he wrote it to Helen. That gives us one wrong. We've got to get the next one right. A line in which a woman is said to be like a turkey dinner. A turkey dinner. Getting a little on the familiar side here. Mr. Levant, does it come back to you?
I know a song about turkey stuffing, but not
next,
a dinner.
Next time for that one. You're the National Gallery, you're Garbo, salary, you're cellophane, you're sublime, you're a turkey dinner, you're the time of the Derby win.
Like Bull Porter.
That's the one, yes. That gives us two wrong and sends a $50 war bond to the National and a set of the Senior Encyclopedia Britannica. and sends us on to a question from Bruce A. K. of Gary, Indiana. What's meant by the following phrases? What's meant first by a shin plaster? A shin plaster. Mr. Henderson?
Well, a shin plaster was a paper money in the Civil War.
Yes. What was the denomination generally? Or,
I think it was a dollar bill.
I think it was generally less than a dollar. Certainly worth much less than a dollar. Poorly secured paper money. How about a shoulder patch? What does that mean, shoulder patch?
Is that money?
No. Does that kill your interest in it?
Shoulder patch? Or a paper of gunners wear shoulder patches.
Pardon?
Gunners wear shoulder patches.
Yes, I should think simply any military insignia worn on the left sleeve below the shoulder.
No, well, fellows who go trap shooting or do some heavy gunning, if they're shooting with the right side, of course, they have a shoulder patch.
Sure.
On their right shoulder. There's some few left-hand shooters who have one on the other side.
Yeah. Or in military parlance, it's the...
Marlins use it when they play like gunners. They use it under their chin.
What's meant by the phrase, a green thumb? A green thumb. Oh, that's an easy one. For instance, Mr. Kieran, I'm sure, has a green thumb. Positive about it. Mr. Henderson,
you can grow things... He's a gardener. You know what John does. He's always in the grass someplace.
He's
got a very good ear for gardening.
Well, that's exactly it. Mr. LeBan is perfectly right. Mr. Kieran is, I'm sure, a good gardener. And Mr. Henderson, in your youth, you were probably a farmer and had a green thumb.
Yeah, but gardening's supposed to be fun. The sweet potato patch drove me to college. Now.
You mean we owe everything to the sweet potato patch? Well, that gives us 2 out of 3, and sends us on to a question from Alma R. Emmons of Geneva, New York. What character in fiction lost her mind for the following reasons? In the first case, this gal was jilted by her lover on her wedding night. Who was that? Mr. LeVant?
That's a thing Jane Carr was in, Smiling Through.
Never saw it.
Well, I lost my mind. I saw it.
The next best thing.
Is it a song?
No, it's a novel.
Yeah, Smiling Through.
Smiling Through lost her mind. She was jilted by her lover on a wedding night.
It may have been reversed. The audience may have... the lover may have... I don't know.
Ah, you're backing down now. You're backing down. Mr. Adams? Well, it's...
Charlotte Bronte book?
No, it is not. It's in Great Expectations by Dickens.
Miss Havisham.
Miss Havisham, that's right, Mr. Adams. You see, you did know it. I guess I'll have to call that wrong, nevertheless. I sort of dumped that in your
I think it's Smiling Through. She lost her life.
Oh, it's not the same thing. This is a major tragedy. She lost her mind, yeah? In the second case, her lover jilted her and killed her father. And
that's
so
killed.
She lost her mind. Who was that? Her lover jilted her and killed her father, and as a result, she lost her mind. Or what there was of it to begin with. It was very small. One of your favorite plays. Well, you're mixed up, Mr. LeVant?
Do it again.
All right. Her lover jilted her and killed her father, and as a result, she lost what there was of her mind. Mr. Kieran?
I think that was Hamlet. Killed Polonius and Ophelia went out of her mind.
Yes, that's right. And a very short journey it was. her lover jilted her and killed her brother. And as a result, she went a bit batty. Who was that? These are the saddest stories. Her lover jilted her and then killed her brother. Or maybe he killed her brother and then jilted her.
Well, you could put Hamlet right back in there again because he killed her brother, too. Laertes.
Right. Jolly, that's right.
Certainly.
Right. But that's a double steal, Mr. Kieran.
I can't help it. You asked me the question.
Perfectly true. There's another almost equally famous
Is
character.
Is that an opera?
Pardon?
Opera?
Yeah.
Lohan?
No.
Not Lohan.
No, not Lohan.
Foul.
Foul. Yes, the character Marguerite, at least in Goethe's Faust. I don't know whether how it works out in the opera. I never sat through it. But in Goethe's Faust, Marguerite is jilted by her lover, and her brother is killed by him, and she goes a little on the batty side.
Marguerite isn't far, though. Her brother's turned into a swan for a couple acts. That isn't hay.
No, no. Seems to me that we owe a $50 war bond to Miss Emmons on that. We're sort of fuzzy on it. Did you get that one, Kieran?
No.
I gave Hamlet to answer both parts of that question.
He's right.
Technically, I'm correct.
Mr. Kieran's right.
I don't want to steal any books away from anybody.
All right. Technically, you're correct. Very good. We'll make you correct. I'm sorry, Miss Emmons. Mr. Kieran just argued you want a $50 war bond.
Oh, cad.
I just want to pass, a buck, or the $50. How about this one from Catherine Gooley of Brooks, Oregon? Can you get three...
You're crying her eyes out at this moment.
I know, it's tough. Don't turn this program into a tragedy, Mr. Adams.
People lose their minds, and now you ask me for tragedy.
Can you give me three disparaging remarks? Levant's got his hand up already.
I got my head down.
Three disparaging remarks in slang that mention articles that are being rationed or collected as scrap, either one. Now, just think of the articles that we're supposed to collect, Mr. Adams.
Banana oil.
Is that being rationed?
No.
Oh, oil is, yes. I thought it was banana. Yes, oil is going to be rationed. Very good. Mr. Sheeran.
Rubberneck.
Rubberneck, very good. Mr. Henderson, you ought to be a wizard.
What's the beef?
Well, it isn't fair. It's a...
Oh, come. Mm-hmm. Either you're modest or you don't know.
Sugar daddy, I was thinking of that.
I don't know. Is that a disparaging term, Mr. Henderson?
You might ask those fellas.
Mr. Levant?
Either what's the beef or steal my thunder.
For steal. Yeah.
Well, you can use thunder if you're in the mood. I don't care.
Yeah, I get it. Mr. Adams?
You make me tired.
Very good. I don't like the way you said it either.
Scrap of paper.
Scrap of paper, yes. Tin Pan Alley.
Head, Mr. Adams.
gas bag, any of those. Here's one from Margaret N. Hierman of Los Angeles, California. Here's a musical question. We have a French horn player here for us, and he's going to play some familiar passages. At least we hope they'll be familiar. Identify them for us if you can. Let's have the first. Mr. Harrison,
I'll
go ahead.
I wouldn't interfere.
Go ahead, Mr. Harrison. Oh, come.
I'll be very impressed if you say it's Beethoven's What Symphony. Go ahead.
Well, I can't impress you because I don't know.
Don't you really know the symphony?
He can sing it. It's the Fifth Symphony.
Yes, that's right. And what
movement? It's the second movement.
Second movement. What were you going to say, Mr. Henderson? Second movement of the Fifth Symphony.
Well, he can sing it.
No, I never got beyond the first grade in those symphonies.
Well, that is exactly right, as Mr. Levant reminds us. Rather famous, isn't it, Mr. Levant? I guess it's...
Well, yes, sir. I guess so.
The symphony itself has become very famous on account of the first.
Well, it works both ways. You get tired of it and then don't hear it for 20 years. It's a very famous symphony, yes.
Well, it's famous particularly on account of the first notes of the first movement.
That's the first moment.
Yes. Yeah. Now we'll have the second of these passages.
That might be Tannhäuser.
It is.
Atta boy, Adams. I'm proud of you. We're all proud of you. Very good. That's right, isn't it, Mr. Levant?
Yeah, Wagner's proud of him.
Tannhäuser. That's not so good. Now the third and last. I told you, Mr. Henderson, it was whistled between his teeth. Mr. Levant? What's it from?
It's the New World Symphony by Dvořák.
Yes, the New World Symphony of Dvořák. Well, that gives us 3 out of 3. Now, before we go on to the next question, here's one for Mr. Cross. Mr. Cross, who are the hardest to please smokers in this whole country?
Well, Mr. Fadiman, I believe that the choosiest of all smokers are the independent tobacco experts down south. You see, these auctioneers, buyers, and warehousemen know tobacco backwards and forwards. They know that in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And at auctions all over the South, they see just who buys what tobacco. Yes, year after year, these experts see the makers of Lucky's consistently pay the price to get the finer, milder Lucky Strike leaf. So it's no wonder their overwhelming preference, their experts' stamp of approval, goes to Lucky Strike. Indeed, sworn records show that with independent experts, with men who know tobacco best, it's Lucky's 2-1. Ladies and gentlemen, if you consider yourselves hard to please, why not take a tip from the tobacco experts? Choose a cigarette made of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
Thank you, Mr. Cross. That's for 59 seconds. And now a question from Robert Menti of Lansdowne, Pennsylvania. recite a line of poetry for us that mentions each of these military ranks. Well, suppose we start with the lowest rank, a lower rank, sergeant. A line of poetry with the word sergeant in it. Mr. Akira.
Danny's fighting hard for life, the color sergeant said.
Yes, or any of those lines
from
the word sergeant.
Danny Deva.
From Danny Deva. I don't think it would be very easy to think of another one off the bat. How about the line of poetry that mentions the rank of colonel?
Colonel Grady and Judy Grady are sisters under the skin.
That's perfectly right, Miss Tennyson. Very good. And what's it from? You don't have to answer, Mr. Kipling. Yes, it's Kipling. What's it called?
It's something wedding.
I think it's called The Ladies from Rudyard Kipling. Now,
that's another poem.
Is it another poem? Yeah. Well, then I'm wrong. So. I've been wrong before. How about General? A line of poetry with the word general in it. That should be easier, Mr. Adams.
Caviar to the general.
That's very good. It's from what? And what does the word general mean there?
A lot of people.
Yes, to the general public or to the common populace. Mr. Kieran?
With General Bangs with aide and staff who tit up on the way when they beheld a heliograph tempestuously at play. So forth. That's, another one of Kipling's.
Yes.
Code of Morals. Dying in bed. I mean, isn't right.
General
died at dawn.
There might be.
That's a picture, but.
How about this one from Lorraine Lowry of University City, Missouri? Name the work in which two murderers are hired to wipe out a rival family. What play? Two murderers are hired to wipe out a rival family? No. That's a wild guess, Mr. Kieran.
In Macbeth.
Yes, Macbeth. A work in which the murderer tells the story. I can think of only one offhand.
That's a detective story.
That's right, Mr. Adams. Murder
of Roger Ackroyd.
That's very good, Mr. Adams. The murder of Roger Ackroyd, Dr. Shepherd tells it, Agatha Christie's famous story. Name a work in which a murdered man becomes champion.
Oh.
Mr. Levant.
Jordan.
Here comes Mr. Jordan, the one in which Robert Montgomery starred. That gives us 3 out of 3, and I guess that's all we have time for. Thank you, Mr. Henderson, for lending us your talents this evening. Now, in a few seconds, I'll announce next week's guests. Tonight, Lucky Strike has paid out 1 set of the Encyclopedia Britannica and 1 $50 war bond. And speaking of bonds, I'd like to ask the workers who happen to be listening in a blunt, simple question. How would you like to work 75 hours a week and get 2 meals a day, consisting of a few ounces of bad bread and thin soup? Would you pay 10% more to eat the meals you do and work the way you do? Well, then you should be eager to lend it. That's all, brother. Now, next week, Mr. Kieran and Mr. Adams will occupy their usual seats, and our guest will be our old friend, the famous music critic and composer, Deems Taylor, and the equally famous Hollywood maestro and impresario, the inimitable Gregory Renthoff, who will be here with all his dialects in his left-hand pocket. Remember to send your letters with questions and the correct answers to Information, Please, at 480 Lexington Avenue, New York City. And now a parting message from Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs, famous tobacco auctioneer from Goldsboro, North Carolina.